Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is Najah E. Brown, your host, and we thank you for your support and participation. Hope for Today is an outreach program of Yield to the King Ministry, and our hope and prayer for our listening audience is that you hear something that is encouraging, life-altering, or prompting you to study the Word of God. We welcome your comments anytime, and you can reach us through our website at yieldtothekingministry.org. Well, welcome to today's episode entitled The Seven Last Words of Christ. I'll read the promotional material and then we'll go ahead and get started. So the promotional material says the seven last words of Jesus Christ should cause believers to pause and reset. Jesus, in his suffering, showed his divinity and humanness. He understands what we go through when suffering. This lesson is not exhaustive today, but a time to reflect on those things that matter most. Jesus exemplifies forgiveness. He offers salvation to those who believe. He lays the foundation for relationships. He understands feelings of abandonment. He experienced distress. He is triumphant. And in him, there will be a reunion of the saints. Jesus' seven last words. Well, during the Lenten season, which started on February 14th, actually, which is called Ash Wednesday, and up through until the resurrection, it's very common for Christians to call that the Lenten season and to abstain from something. But it's also a time for us to practice and introspectively look within and be reminded of what Christ accomplished on the cross for humankind. The season of Lent mourns and celebrates two catalytic events, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. Today, I want to focus on his last seven words at the time of crucifixion. I'm going to spend most of my time, however, on his third words. So the seven sayings go like this. The first one is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them. He's talking about those who were responsible for nailing him to the cross. Forgive them, for they know not what to do. What they are doing. And this is found in Luke 23, verse 34. The second saying is, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. So he's offering salvation to the thief, one of the thieves that was on the cross on the opposite side of him. That's found in Luke 23, 43. And then the third saying is, woman, behold thy son. And then he says to the disciple John, behold thy mother. That's found in the book of John, chapter 19, verses 26 through 27. And it speaks to relationship. Then the fourth word is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Abandon. So it's an abandonment issue. And that's found in Matthew 26, 46, and then Mark 15, 34. And then during this whole period of time, Jesus becomes thirsty, and he says, I thirst. That's found in John 19, 28. He was in distress. And the sixth word is, it is finished, found in John 19, 30. Triumph. Triumph. He knew his time had come. It is finished. It's being fulfilled. His crucifixion is being fulfilled. And then the seventh word is, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. That's found in Luke 23, 46. And that speaks to reunion, a triumphant reunion, a reconciliation back to God the Father. I want to focus on the third words of Christ today. The scripture is found in John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27, and I actually have two versions that I would like to read. This is John's account of Jesus' last words at his crucifixion. The apostle John was one of Jesus' closest disciples and accompanied Jesus the night before his crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane. John chapter 19, verses 26 through 27, this is the New American Standard Bible, and it reads, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.'" Verse 27 says, "And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." Then the message reads a little differently, and it says, "While the soldiers were looking after themselves, Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene stood at the foot of the cross. Jesus saw his mother and the disciples he loved, and the disciple he loved standing near her. He said to his mother, 'Woman, here is your son.' Then to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that moment, the disciple accepted her as his mother." People were viewing Christ's crucifixion. He saw his mother, his family, his aunt, his mother's sister Salome, the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene standing at the foot of the cross. Just imagine, they were there. Amid his suffering, Christ shows that he is a healing human and divine savior to each of us when he could have used comfort himself. Imagine how he must have felt with them in this crowd. Jesus cared so much for his mother that he delivered words she needed to hear in her moment of dismay. He spoke encouragement, comfort, solace, and peace, just in a few words. Jesus was showing by example how to obey the commandment he gave, honor thy mother and thy father. Again, the passage says, "Woman, here is your son." Then to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that moment, the disciple accepted her as his mother. Christ was lovingly attending to her needs, even in his greatest need, by leaving her in the trusted care of his beloved disciple, John. And likewise, leaving John to benefit from a trusted mother-son relationship. As the oldest son in his family, Jesus had a cultural obligation to care for his mother. And he passed that obligation on to one of his closest friends. John would have certainly obeyed this command and carried out his wishes. Jesus entrusted Mary to John, who was a believer and was present. Now, we can speculate that Mary was a widow, probably a widow, and at this point she is aging, so she's an older woman. Jesus' brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, the English version of Judas, were not present at his crucifixion. In Matthew 13:55, there's reference to Jesus' sisters. Where were they? His brothers were not mentioned as disciples during his public ministry, but after his crucifixion and ascension, they were in the upper room, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Jesus inspires us to look outward when we are suffering. It's so easy to look inward and to have that woe is me mentality and narrative. Jesus met his mother where she was and will do the same for us. No matter what we've done, no matter what we're going through, no one is beyond the reach of the Savior's healing love. So let's recap this. At his crucifixion, Jesus was surrounded by his inner circle and family, his mother, aunt, and beloved disciple, John. This is where I want to park for today, the importance of relationships, particularly family and those you trust. So who fits into your definition of family? Family can be defined by spouses, parents. It could be foster, adoptive, godparents, or surrogate parents. Siblings, of course, children and relatives and grandchildren and trusted friends. I have a mid-sized family, 4 siblings, sons, grandchildren, nieces and nephews, great nieces and nephews, cousins, and I have 1 maternal aunt and maternal and paternal cousins. Family means everything to me. I have a great relationship with my two adult sons who have their own families, which means that I have daughters-in-law and grandsons and so on and so forth. I remember the time when I realized I was no longer parenting, but God showed me that my parental influence still had a place in their lives. They still seek my counsel. When my oldest son was born, I was blessed with a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful baby boy. And some would say that he was cursed with a teenage mother. He definitely is the product of a village. The redemption story is that against all odds and by the grace of God, we grew up together. He married and fathered two sons, and today all of us talk, laugh, and enjoy each other's company. I thought about John 19:26-27 and want to present a practical application that would challenge each of us to think and take action. Ponder these personal questions. Is family important enough to be included in your last words? And if so, what would be your last words to your inner circle? Would you settle a score? Make a benign statement? Leave instruction? Now think of this universal question. Do we have family members who are unbelievers who may not even be present to receive our last words? Remember, Jesus' brothers and sisters were not present. Yes, I have had the death conversations with my son. My will is in place, and my sons know exactly what to do to carry out my last wishes. But I asked myself, what words would I say? Would I talk about stuff, the house, the property, memorabilia? Or would I have words that they need to hear at that moment, during their time of dismay? Words of encouragement, peace, solace, and comfort. As their mother, into whose care would I entrust them? It doesn't matter how old we are. We all need godly counsel. And we all should have an accountability partner. The more these three words unfolded, I began to think, what lasting words am I sharing now when I'm fully coherent, not in hospice care and sedated? Think about it for a moment. What words should we share now that are long lasting? There are 7 points I want to leave with you regarding relationships. The first one is, if there is friction and discord, offer a spirit of forgiveness. Number two, if there are unbelieving family members, pray without ceasing for their salvation. Number three, if relationships are broken and damaged, seek reconciliation. Number four, if you are estranged from your family because of abandonment issues, let God mend your broken heart. If you are in distress, this is point number five, call on Jesus. And number six, if you are looking for triumph, there's victory in Christ Jesus. And then number seven, in the family of God, death has no sting. There will be a great reunion among the saints. So in conclusion, Christ was crucified on that old rugged cross once and for all. Are we at the foot of the cross where we should be, or are we wandering around in the wilderness off to somewhere else? What have we missed by not being where we should be? Everyone who was supposed to witness Jesus' crucifixion was present. My question for us today is, where are you? Where are you? To God be the glory for the great things he has done. And with that, may God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and give you peace. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks. God bless you.